Welcome back, Questers. Today we have one of my favorite unsigned underground artists, straight out of Toronto, Canada. Born in Ghana, residing out of Toronto, Canada. Amazing catalog. He's been on here many times before. He was featured on my Final Ingredient EP. Love his music. Now he's doing some acting. And we'll be talking about a commercial he did with Drew Barrymore and his depiction of Big Daddy Gil Goodrich. He was one of the first superstars of the Ultimate Fighting, you know, back when they first started the UFC back in the day, and still has one of the probably the most vicious knockouts I've ever seen. My guy got to depict him in a short film. So we'll be talking with my man Griff Galaxy. Y'all know him. And man, excellent catalog, doing his thing, music and now going into acting, and I just can't be more proud of him. So we're gonna be talking about that. So kick back, relax. I'm Real Washington. This is The Quest. We got you locked in. Griff Galaxy.
You're not used to me being alone, harassing me, calling my phone. Hey lady, find your own, instead of trying to wreck a home. She's who she's fine. Like a dog on a bone. You crazy, think I will go. So just please leave me alone. Floating away through all the pain. Floating away, what can I say?
What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Roy?
What's up?
What's up? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, it's good to see you, man. How's things?
Everything's good, man. You look like you're walking.
Yeah. You know, I was out for a little bit, and you know, the weather is actually beautiful in Toronto, so I thought I'd just find a quiet spot where we can just catch up. And you know, back in my place, it's a little bit noisy over there, so just been trying to find a spot where it seems like a lot of people are out today, actually. My bench, I usually sit at just to kind of meditate. It seems to be occupied today. So, yeah, I'm just seeing if there's another bench here and I could just sit down and we can catch up. But how you been?
Man, everything's been all right, man. Slowly starting to get back to the music, you know.
Beautiful.
Are they protesting over there in Toronto?
Surprisingly, just with the banks, because I think, and government workers are protesting just because they're not happy with the wages. But it's kind of interesting that their protests here in Canada are about different issues, right? Not like the real issues that are going on in the world. It's more like a lot of local companies are, you know, cutting down their employees, and then they're not happy with the wages. So I've seen a lot of protests like that going on, but nothing like what's going on in the US, like LA with ICE and all that stuff. You know, it's like, wow, right? Those are like the real issues, right? Unlike the small things we go deal with over here.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, and even we did actually have a protest a couple of months ago, just in regards to Africa, like trying to keep African resources. You know, because what's been going on for years, other countries exploit all the resources that Africa has, like gold, cocoa, things like that. And Africa's so rich in resources, but we're so poor. So it's like these other countries come in and take our gold, resell it, and we're left with nothing. So there's a guy named, you know, Toure. You know, he's Burkina Faso's president, and he's the one who's kind of made that movement of like Africa's rich, let's keep everything in-house, let's keep businesses in-house and not just sell gold to foreigners to exploit us and take advantage, right? So I'm really a part, I'm really, because I'm from Ghana, that's my roots, I'm really excited about that movement because it's empowering the African community, empowering the Caribbean countries to do the same thing as well, right? So it's a beautiful thing to witness. It's Abraham Toure. Sorry, I was drawing a blank. But yeah, Abraham Toure. He's the Burkina Faso president. So he's the one who started this movement. He's a young guy too. He's, you know, I think in his late 30s. And he's really challenging all the leaders to do the same mindset of just keep Africa rich. Let's not give away our resources because it's very corrupt, right? And yeah, it's been a lot of that going on. So yeah, it's been interesting time to be alive. There's just so many different things happening in the world right now. But you know, it's so crazy to me that all these things that we're experiencing is just like what you said, very demonic, and you have to be well rooted. And I don't even know when all this started. I just started noticing it a lot more, like just from, you know, the Olympics, how they're kind of making a mockery of that photo, that the Last Supper. And, you know, I noticed that, and just people who are nasty to each other getting going viral. And like, why is it's almost like people are drawn to negativity. I think that's what it is, because there's so many good things going on in the world and that we don't know about, that's not going viral. It's just kind of kept on the wraps, right? And it's just mind-boggling. And I know as a musician, you probably could relate to this as well. As a musician, you hear certain songs that are just for clowning a man or just tearing somebody down, getting all these millions of views and becoming a hit song. It boggles my mind. I'm like, why are we rewarding bad behavior? It's been frustrating as somebody who believes in uplifting kind of music and positivity and music with a message. it's kind of very discouraging, but it hasn't stopped me from still putting music out there.
Yeah, you put out some good music, man. Great music. Look forward to doing some more collabs with you.
Yes.
I spend a lot of time with my niece. And when I'm in the car with my niece, the stuff that she's listening to, I'm just like, wow. I mean, it's no, don't take no talent at all. Just get on the microphone and just talk about our F you here, our do this there, and sets and, you know, all that. That you don't need no talent. You don't need no bars or nothing. Just, you know, just talk sets talk. You know, some of the stuff that she listened to, and she look at me and start laughing because, you know, I'm just like, what the hell is this? You know?
Oh, man. It's, you know, so Sean crazy.
Sean Stockman from Boys to Men. I see he was on a podcast. He was on Byron Scott's podcast. And he said he was driving his daughter and about three or four of her friends. And he asked him a question. He said, when you guys have your 20-year reunion, what are you gonna play? You know, we got really good classic music to play when we have our reunions and stuff. What are they gonna play when they 20 years from now? I mean, if it's still the world is still the way it is, 20 years from now they come back for their reunions. ten year reunion. What they gonna play? It's gonna be nothing but garbage. Nothing but garbage.
That's true. Yeah, what could they play, right? Like, especially as time passes on, you mature, right? And then you're hearing F this, F that, do this, do that. It's crazy. It feels like, I used to, even before I transitioned into singing a bit more and doing just a lot of records with melodies, I used to rap as well. And it was an art back in those days. It was about bars. It was about metaphors, a message. Now I see someone like Roseanne Barr rapping. Like,
huh?
Yeah, I seen a clip that one of my friends showed me that Roseanne Barr, the actress, was rapping. Yeah. I'm like, what?
Oh, man.
I thought it was trash, to be honest. But yeah. It shocked me. It shocked me for somebody like her to be spitting, you know what I mean? Like rapping and... She was talking about, like, oh, they say I'm a racist and they try to cancel me and, you know, stuff like that, right? She was rapping about, I'm like, Roseanne Barr? It seems like everyone and their dog is rapping now. That's the thing. Like, what's going on? So, in a way, I'm kind of glad I sort of transitioned to experimenting more with harmonies and melodies. But, you know, who knows? I might try to start rapping again. You know, I like to mix things up a little bit. But it just seems like everybody's rapping now. Like, no matter what. Like, when I seen that, I'm like, yeah. You know, Taylor Swift, you know, it's like everybody's getting into it. It just shows how popular the culture has gotten. But it just seems like it's very easy to do now and not have as much talent. It's a shame because... It used to be an art form. It was a very protected culture, but now everybody's just doing it, right? Even a coworker of mine was like, oh, I want to make a rap song. She's this Italian girl who's kind of, you know, nerdy, but she's like, oh, I want to rap about this job. I'm like, what? You know? She's like, you want to co-write with me about rapping about our job? I'm like, what? Are you serious?
Yeah, man. I don't know. I got. Hey, be careful what you spit on, man.
Yeah, that's why I was like, no thanks. You know what I mean? It's kind of a funny thing that she even asked, right? That's one of the things. Like, when I collab with artists, I always want to collab with artists like yourself, for example. You know, that have a great talent, good message, very good vibe, right? Those are the kind of artists I like working with. But people who are just doing nonsense and like Weird Al Yankovic kind of music, I'm like, it's not really my thing. You know, that's one thing I haven't done is like a comedy album or anything like that. But surprisingly, you never know, it might go viral. You know what I mean? It's just the way the world we're living in now. It's just... Social media is taking over a lot of different things, and even AI as well too. It's like, what happened to the authenticity?
Right. The AI has taken
Yeah.
over a lot of stuff, man. At least with Weird Al Yankovic, we knew that was comedy. We knew that was clown stuff, you know. And, well, he did. He the one did Roaches and stuff like that. He took popular songs and make
Yeah.
them cool. Yeah. So that's what I would.
Well,
That's
yeah.
what I would classify Roseanne Barr. I'll put her in that category if she did a little rap song. I little laugh at it. It looks funny, but it's nothing that you're gonna ride around bumping in your car. Of course not.
Exactly.
You know, if I'm having a party,
Exactly.
yeah, I'm not gonna be bumping at you. You know what I'm saying?
It's true. Oh man. Yeah, I just don't know what's been going on with the music industry and just the industry in general. It's changed so much over the years. And all it is like publicity, numbers. It's like a numbers game now where, oh, this person had 100 million streams or, 50 million streams or 2 million or 3 billion followers. Everything is all numbers. And I don't know if I told you before, I was with this label called Concord Entertainment. They're with Sony Orchard. So I know the owner there, named Charv. I call him Charv, but he calls himself Charvy, the Don. That's his name. But I was talking to him about the industry, and he said it's all about numbers. He's like, we have to get your numbers up, because when I was working with him, he was like, it's all about getting the numbers, get on playlist, do shows, just increase the numbers so people look at the numbers. I'm like, okay, this person's a star because of the numbers. So a lot of the times the numbers are inflated with some of these artists from what he told me. But he's like, we just want to get the people to look at you. So get your
People
numbers
for
up.
purchase numbers.
Yeah. People are purchasing numbers. That's what he
Purchasing
does for
numbers,
the label.
purchasing followers.
Yes, that too. I've noticed that as well. I seen one guy, he had like 50,000 followers, but two comments in one of his posts. So I'm like, yeah, I'm like, something's not adding up. The math ain't mathing. You know what I mean? Like, how do you have 50,000 followers and only two people commenting on your posts? So you know what I mean? Stuff like that, I kind of can tell. Like, okay, that's not authentic. He actually paid for followers that are maybe not real people, right? So it's crazy times we're living in. It's all numbers. And and even with the label I was with, Concord Entertainment, I just kind of felt like he hasn't made my music a priority. Almost just like, he's doing whatever he needs to do for himself. A guy's driving a Lamborghini, he has a mansion, and here I am, like, just trying to make ends meet, right? And it just had me thinking, like, how corrupt the industry could be. So that made me realize I just need to continue doing the path of being consistent, which I realize is so important. And if I do have money to invest, not invest it with the label, because they take all that money and put it in myself, do Instagram ads or, money towards making a music video, which I'm planning to do more music videos. I don't think I've done enough music videos, but that's something that I want to work towards, because people like to see an image. People like to see videos. It seems to be what's going viral nowadays too.
I wanna the song we did together, well, one of the songs, the last one we did together,
Oh,
the silence.
yes, y'all. Or the
Yes, y'all.
silence, yeah.
And poetically born. Even as a child, ducking and dodging a wild style, lyrical exile, building a pen to go to mile. Knee high to a duck, but ready to emerge. Pass me the mic, y'all, was Leroy D's first words. Vibing through the phases of funk and do hop, rock and roll, and pop to bring your soul some hip hop. Never counting the times that my baby cradle rocked, there was a non stop cane of screaming. Charlie Alger Griff, man, my brother Chico. Beauty and the Beast released those rhymes to kill again.
Can I bring you down? Block out all of the noise. Don't be worried.
Hey man, your little commercial was kind of, you know, I had to look at it a couple times and I noticed that was you were sitting on the couch with them people, right? That one commercial?
Yeah, yeah, the Bingo app commercial. So Drew Barrymore was the main actress in that commercial. And I was the general, so it was like a mystery kind of thing, like mystery murder kind of plot twist. You know, it's for advertising for the Bingo app because she's a spokesperson for the Bingo app. And it was pretty cool because that was like my first acting appearance on like TV, basically. Even though I didn't say any lines, I was just in the background as one of the suspects of who killed, you know, Drew Barrymore. And of course, she wasn't dead. It was just kind of for the advertisement. And then she gets up and says, "Bingo, is it a bingo?" And then they found out she's not dead and the butler faints, you know. So it was kind of like fun to do. It was long days. Like I find with acting, there's some really long days. It can go up to 12-hour days. But, you know, the good thing about them. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, was that the full commercial you sent me? That was kind of quick. Was that the full one, the full version?
Yeah, that was the full version. So it was very quick. Like, I think maybe 30 seconds, 40 seconds. I guess, you know, one of those quick commercials because it aired on TV, which was pretty cool to, you know, be on something to the wide audience, right? And it's one of those things, yeah, you have to watch it a couple of times to realize, hey, that's Griff sitting as the general with the eye patch, you know? So it was a really good experience just to get my toes wet in acting and, you know, that was like my first acting gig, which is nice, right? Because I find entertainment, like musicians and actors, it kind of goes hand in hand in a way. Yeah. Even when you're doing music videos, there's acting in that as well, right? So it almost kind of ties into one another.
Well, so you met her then, right? So y'all was on set together.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually met her. She was really nice. And it was kind of funny because when I was doing this commercial, I didn't know she was going to be the main actress. They don't tell you because if they tell you, they're worried you would tell other people. And next thing you know, there's a big lineup of people trying to see Drew Barrymore. So they kept that on a hush. So when I seen her, she was walking out and she seen me. I kind of was not going to lie. I was starstruck because I first wasn't expecting to see her. And then she's like, "Hi, you know, are you in the murder mystery scene with me?" And I was like, yeah, I am, you know, but usually I'm quick. I, you know, I like to network and things like that, but I wasn't prepared. I was caught off guard. So it was just like, hi, like, you know, stunned. And that's usually not like me because I feel actresses, actors, musicians, no matter how famous they are, they also use the washroom like us. They put one leg at a time when they're putting their pants on. But I was just caught off guard because no one prepared me to let me know she would be there. So I kind of wish I knew because I would have tried to network with her and maybe lead into something else, right? Like another acting opportunity. But she introduced herself. That's the thing I really admire about her. She introduced herself and shook my hand. I'm like, wow, what? Not many celebrities do that. Some of them are so full of themselves.
She could have walked right by you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she didn't. So it just shows her character.
Do you have any photos or behind-the-scenes photos, anything you took during that time or what?
I think it was more I wish I took more photos, but it's more like behind-the-scenes getting ready video, you know, just that kind of footage. I can definitely send
that. Oh, man, if you got it, send it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Send it to my email, man.
All right. Yeah, I'll definitely send that over to you.
Send it via file mail if it's too big, man. Also, man, your portrayal of Big Daddy Goodrich.
Oh, yes.
How did you get that?
So what was interesting, so my agent called me. She's like, there's you know, Vice is interested in using you to play. First, it was funny. They wanted me to play Kimbo Slice, who is another Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
You know, I look nothing like him, really. Like, he was a lot bigger than I was and everything else. He was bald, but he had hair on. He kind of looked like a black Santa Claus, you know, Kimbo Slice, right? So,
yeah.
You know, they originally asked me for that part. I didn't get the part. I didn't think I would. And the next thing you know, I think it was like maybe 3 or 4 months later, they're like, we think Griff would play a better Gary Goodridge, and we want him. So the crazy thing is, I didn't have to audition for that part. They just thought I had the look of a younger Gary Goodridge, I guess because he is bald, and, you know, I had to shave my facial hair for that role.
I seen him when he first came into the UFC.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, he was something special. Yeah, he was like no facial hair back then. I was hoping they would let me keep my beard because I had my full beard, but they cut it all off so I can film that.
He used to wear the karate gi with the no shoes. He had one of the most vicious knockouts I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the epic guys.
I gotta send it to you.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
Yeah, I think that was his first fight. His first or second, he was brand new. And he got the guy on the ground, and the guy's arms is pent. Gary Goodrich got his legs around the guy, and the guy's arms is pent. And Goodrich is just giving him elbows to the face, clean shots.
Ooh. Ooh.
And you know, back then it was a little more brutal. It was a little more brutal back then. So I think he gave him at least about 4 or 5 clean shots to the face before the referee stepped in.
Wow, vicious.
The guy he couldn't get his arms to protect himself. He just was laying down taking.
Oh, man.
It was brutal, man.
Oh, I gotta see that now, you know, because I've heard Gary Goodrich is one of the classic, you know, fighters, right? For UFC, the earlier stages of when UFC was starting. And, you know, it's interesting. I gotta watch that. If you get a chance or if you have Vice, if you find Dark Side of the Cage. Look for the episode of Gary Goodrich. I still haven't watched the full thing, but you know, I had seen a snippet of it, the part where they were trying to bribe him to throw the fight. It was kind of like a reenactment. So it's a documentary reenactment. So I was reenacting his parts, basically, where you know, they're trying to persuade me to throw the fight. And that footage I sent you, I was waving the guy off, like saying, no, right? I don't throw fights. Yeah, so I really want to watch it. I haven't seen it myself. I know some friends of mine have seen it. They said I did a good job, and they're like, "Oh, I saw you were drinking with the Japanese, you know, making jokes like that, or like drinking with the enemy, or what's going on there, you know, stuff like that." So it's like, "Oh man, I need to really see this now." You know, I haven't watched it myself. I filmed it back October of last year.
Okay. Yeah, Goodrich was a bad boy, man.
Yeah, he was
one of those early stars with Dan Severn and Royce Gracie, you know, and you know, Shamrock and those guys, Tank Abbott.
Oh man, yeah. Shamrock. Yeah. Those are the classic UFC guys, you know, with the pride, you know, fighters.
That's when UFC was coming in and starting to get popular, you know. And it was much more brutal back then. They jump in now and they see you defenseless, but those shots that guy took from Goodrich, man, that guy could have jumped in a couple blows earlier.
He could have
elbow shots right to the face, clean.
Wow,
it was brutal. It was brutal, man. Oh,
he could have killed him.
Yeah, most definitely. So, hey, since you're starting to get into acting now a little bit, you know what is a actor that you would love to do a role with?
That's a very good question. I always loved Denzel Washington, right? Because he's a pioneer. He's been acting for decades. He has a lot of experience. And he seems like somebody I would be able to learn from as well. Like get tips and tricks of how to be a better performer. And I feel he would be a perfect person to do another film with.
What about Aegis?
Oh, yes. Aegis, he's really talented as well, too, right? Like, you know, I think he's from my, I'm not sure if he's from Ghana or not, but I think he's part Ghanaian, if I'm not mistaken. And he has also been in the game as well for a while, too. But something about Denzel.
Yes, Denzel. What about on the female side?
Oh, that's a really good question. Trying to think female wise. There's a lot of great female actress.
Regina King?
What was that?
Regina King?
Oh, Regina King. Definitely. I you know, she's one of the other actresses I respect. Of course, Halle Berry, of course, you know, she's another pioneer for, you know, and not just because they're great actors, but also they're like in the industry as African Americans, right? And I always feel if I could act with people in that industry that are African Americans, it's more relatable. They can tell me the struggles they went through or, you know, the challenges they faced. So that's the reason why I've kind of, you know, of course, there's like a lot of talented like Angelina Jolie and, you know, other actors. Sandra Bullock. Yeah.
I love her.
I love it. She's great. Excellent actress, right? They're all very talented, and I would love to act with any one of them, but something about those two, just because I find they have that relatability to me.
Hey, when you're doing a role like Goodrich, was that just a one-day shoot for you or what?
Yeah, that was actually a one-day shoot. Surprisingly, that was the quickest shoot I've ever did. I only spent 4 hours, and it was great. I'm like, that's it? I'm surprised, because it's fun, right? Like, when you are filming, you're working with people that you like as well. It's fun. It doesn't feel like work, right? It's like you're acting, you're playing around. It feels like they'll be like, okay, this is the next scene. And, you know, some people might look at it as grunting work, but I found it to be fun. I'd rather be doing that than my 9-to-5, where just, you know, servicing and running around doing all this paperwork. Oh man, like, I don't think I'm built for 9-to-5, but of course, with circumstances, things happen in life where the job is like the job security to sustain yourself and then do what you love on the side. And then when doing what you love on the side takes off, then that's when it's like, goodbye 9-to-5. I'm doing this full time. You know, that's always been my dream, to do that transition. But I know it's going to take some time to get there.
Yeah, because I was asking because, like, if you you're doing a like, I've heard of some things like some actors, if they're playing, they're portraying somebody, they kind of get so involved in it that they become that person for the time that they're filming. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
I think I heard something like with Denzel when he did Malcolm X. He kind of, with that Malcolm X, the spirit of Malcolm X kind of embodied him for the whole shoot.
Oh, I heard something like that. I forgot what they call it, method acting? Or I forgot what the name of it is.
Yeah, you just get so into it, you know, you just get so, you know, so into it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you're playing a homeless person, you live with a homeless person to know exactly, you know, stuff like that where it's really into it. I think those kind of method actors look to do that just so they know they can get a Grammy. Or not a Grammy, sorry, an Oscar or some kind of award. Like, anyone who embodies it that way, you know, they're not just acting just to act. They're going for that gold, right? They're going for that award or Oscar.
Yeah. Yeah, like you're going to play a cop or something. You might want to hang out with a cop, or maybe if they let you get in the squad car and go on a call with them or something. Just to get you into that mind frame, right?
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, you nailed it. You nailed it, man. So it's such a good experience to just be a part of something like that, and it's fun. I definitely think if there's another opportunity for you to at least consider, you should definitely jump on it. I think you would have a good time. You'll meet different people. Yeah, you'll meet different people. You'll connect with different people. Some people are unique. Their stories. Yeah, I met a man who was divorced 4 times on set.
Wow.
I couldn't, you know, just hearing that story, I'm like, wow, 4 times? I'm like, really? You figure 3rd time's a charm? And I don't know. How does that happen? But just the way it is, he said, you know, he couldn't find anyone to support his craft, and I guess it just happened.
Support is a big thing, man. You want your other half to support what you do, like just like you support them.
100%. That's so important. And yeah, it adds more value, right? Because you're not sacrificing something you love,
right?
And build resentment if you do, right?
Yeah. Tell me about your new joints, man.
Oh yeah. So the one new joint I had, which they wrote like a little bit of a write up on in the blog, it's called You Never Know, and it's a disco funk kind of vibe to it. There's a lady on it named Ojila, who's from Nigeria, who's singing the hook. So I wrote the hook for her. You know, she's doing the hook on it. And You Never Know, it's just like things happen in life. But if you stay positive and stay focused, you never know what can happen. You can change things around. So it's another song about overcoming and dealing with, you know, what life throws at you. But then coming up on top at the end. So it's kind of like a motivational song, but has a disco funk vibe that, you know, I was told it reminded some people of a Jackson 5 song, you know, just because of the just because of the funk vibe to it, the backup deep vocals in the back that I added as well, and you know, just kind of like a sort of an old school Jackson 5 song from the 80s.
What about No More Tears?
Yeah, that one is a special one in the sense that, you know, I feel like it's an anthem for mental health because we all go through mental health and we all suffer in some sort of way, right? And it's interesting because the person I got to sing on it with me is Marcus Gonda. We did a song called When the Lights on my first ever album, Facts Over Feelings. And that song was also about depression. And the reason why I chose Marcus Gonda again is I find that his voice, he sings with a lot of pain in his voice. You know, like I could have probably sang the chorus myself if I chose to, but it doesn't have that same feel of pain when Marcus Gonda does it. He's from, he's, you know, a Spanish artist, and he's from Argentina, but, you know, he definitely has very strong vocals that really project that feel of pain, right? No More Tears. It's like overcoming the stress and struggles and, you know, just being feeling well and feeling good about yourself that you're not crying anymore. Like you've suffered for so long, but then now it's like, okay, no more tears.
Wow. And I like Floating. Floating has a nice little kind of mellow.
Oh yeah, it's like a disco-y kind of. Yeah, someone told me the vibe kind of sounds dreamy a little bit.
Hey, there you go. That's perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, you know, it's also just kind of like floating it to like another place, not having to worry about all the issues that are going on. It's like escaping and going to a place of just getting away from chaos and stress and stressful relationships, right? That's also what it talks about a little bit as well too, that, you know, you're trying to avoid toxic relationships, so you're just floating away from it and just removing yourself from a negative situation.
All right, yeah, we're about to close up in a few minutes, so I want to ask you about two of, you probably already know my two favorite songs in your catalog still. What was you thinking about when you wrote Zoo?
But yeah, Zoo. Yeah, that was that's another song I'm working on releasing actually and putting out there on Spotify. Definitely, I think that will probably be the next one I release after Floating. Because what I'm trying to do is release a song every once a week, once to every 2 weeks. I'm trying to put out a new song that hasn't been released yet. I have a whole vault of songs, so that's why I'm able to do stuff like that and be like, okay, I'm just going to put out some songs. But when I wrote Zoo, it's also kind of talks about what's going on in society, that it's just a madhouse. It's crazy. It's a zoo, right? It's just a lot of animals and craziness going on.
Yeah.
over the top, a lot of things happening in this society, and I kind of made it like that title Zoo, because I don't think I ever did a song that had a letter Z in it before, and I think I have a song in almost every alphabet, but I thought Zoo was a good title because it describes what I've been experienced with during COVID. I think I did that song during COVID. And you know what's interesting with COVID? It was stressful, but one of the best times for me because I felt more at peace. Even though we were isolated, I didn't have to deal with work. Oh, somebody got pulled over. Yeah, man. Anyway, sorry. Sorry. Yeah, but
hopefully I didn't have to deal with...
Yeah, hopefully they make it home. Yeah, yeah. I wonder if they're black.
Right. Never know nowadays. Yeah.
Nowadays, you never know. Yeah, I can't really see who it's in that car, but yeah. I think it's, you know, Canadian police are a little bit more gentle.
Okay, cool.
They're a little more polite. But cool. Yeah. But Zoo is definitely a song that I was thinking of, you know, New Edition, right? Like, I was listening to New Edition, and I was trying to get, like, that kind of vibe with this song as well with Zoo.
What's your favorite New Edition's cut?
Oh man, there's Can You Stand the Rain? What else? Mr. Telephone Man. That one's a good one. There's another one. I think it's on the same album. Boys to Men. I think that's what the song is. Yeah, it's funny.
Johnny Gill. Yeah.
And that's how Boyz II Men got their name, actually, from that song. Yeah. So, yeah, that Johnny Gill, he really sang on that one.
I love Marianne.
Marianne. Mm-hmm. That's a good song.
Yeah.
I like that one, too.
That didn't get enough attention, man. That was one of the earlier joints. Marianne was nice.
Oh, yeah, that was a good joint. And there's another song called Not My Kind of Girl. What was it called?
Ralph. Yeah.
With Ralph. Yeah. I like that song too. So, yeah, they had some bangers, man. And it was unfortunate when they got ripped off when they first started. But that's part of the music industry. Every artist I've known has been scammed in some capacity or ripped off in some capacity.
Yeah, one of the best interviews I've heard, man. I told you about the podcast, My Expert Opinion, right?
Oh, okay. I think you did. Might have mentioned that.
Yeah. Math Hoffa, a legendary battle rapper. They sitting in the barbershop setting. And he had Michael Bivins on. And Michael Bivins wrote down a lot about what happened with the early day New Edition and all that. That's a great interview, man. They'll teach you a lot as far as and he's talking about how he learned the business and everything. So, yeah, look up Michael Bivins on my Expert Opinion, man. That's a great interview.
Definitely. That's a great idea because Michael Bivins, I respect him because he learned the business, right? Because, you know, of course, when they were kids, they didn't understand the business. They just signed the contract, right? And they were from the ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they got taken advantage of. So good for him understanding the business. And he's the one who really gave Boyz II Men their chance, right?
Yeah. And, you know, he's one of my favorite people to listen to interview because he's a great storyteller. He's just, his interviews are just amazing. Like him and Ice-T, probably two of my favorites to listen when they interview. They got great stories and they just bring you into what they experienced. Everybody's not a good interview, you know what I'm saying? But they are amazing. Every time I see them interviewed, I love to listen to them. KRS-One is another.
KRS-One is one of the other.
I'll send you the link, man. But that's a good interview that you can listen to Mike Bivins and say the stories he tells. It's amazing. One of my favorite interviews.
I gotta check that out. I'm gonna watch that one actually. Yeah, thanks for letting me know about that because he understands the industry and knows the ins and outs. He's been on the side where he was ripped off, and he's been on the other side as well, behind the scene in the business.
Your song Can't Get Over You, Always, was that personal?
Yeah, it was actually. Always, you know, where you're trying to move past somebody, but they're always in your mind, right? Like, you think about the memories you shared with that special person. And
so that was personal for you.
Yeah, that was definitely personal for me. You know, like, I've been fortunate to be in really good relationships, you know, and some of the times it doesn't pan out, whether it's different values or, you know, growing apart. That happens, right? You don't think these kind of things happen. Like, some couples are fortunate enough to be married for like 40 years or together for like 50 years, but some people may be less fortunate, maybe 10, 12 years, 20 years, whatever the case is. But you always share those memories, especially if it was not a nasty breakup, right? If it was a mutual agreement in a sense where you want to go your different path, they want to go their path, but it's hard to get over somebody that's great, you know? So that's why it's like always thinking about that person.
How do you move on from that situation?
I think one of the things that helps me move on is music, for example. You know, I think music heals the soul and keep him busy, because I find when they say the idle mind is the devil's playground, I heard that somewhere. You know, all these thoughts go in your head, right? When you have an idle mind, because you're not keeping busy, you're not, you know, whether it's going for walks, whether it's reading, whether it's hanging with people who support you, like your friends and family, or even creating music. I think those are like things that really help you to overcome situations, or forget about somebody, because you're keeping your mind occupied and you don't have time to kind of sit and think about things as much in terms of, oh, what would have happened if we were together? Because I find that most of the time I've been stressed, it's been me alone, nobody around, like no family, just me and myself alone, and not doing anything, not like watching TV or, you know, maybe scrolling on Instagram, or, you know what I mean? It's just mindless activities. And then thoughts start coming into your head, where I find when you keep busy, like whether it's motivational books or writing a song, I think that's for musicians is probably the best therapy, is creating music when you're in pain, right? And it heals your soul, because music will never disappoint, right? It's always going to be there for decades and decades. We hear songs from the 60s still, right? Or even the 50s. Right? Like, music is one of those things that doesn't die. And I feel like that's one way to heal the soul, too.
Yeah. Aretha Franklin had that song, "Until You Come Back to Me." That's what I'm gonna do.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my jams from back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Aretha Franklin. She had some strong vocals.
Yeah.
She is a powerhouse.
Yeah, she is. What's on your playlist right now? You see, you got the headphones on. What are you listening to right now? Some of the songs.
Yeah, It might sound conceited, but recently I started listening to myself, because sometimes I've been listening to my own catalog. So I've been listening to Floating, because that's a new release coming out, No More Tears, and then this other song I'm thinking about. I'm wondering if I should put out as well, called it's called Redo. So it's kind of like a techno sort of vibe.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of that. So a lot of my stuff. And then also, I started going back to my inspirations of artists. Like, there's this guy for rap. His name is John Connor. He's John from Detroit. Connor. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's pretty underground. Like, yeah, he really should have been bigger than what he is, but, you know, things didn't work out. He was supposed to be signed to Dr. Dre and things fell off. I have to find out his story, but he's one of those guys under the radar. And then who else? I don't know if you know Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees.
From the Monkees.
Yeah, there's a group from the 60s called the Monkees.
Yeah.
And one of their lead singers was Mickey Dolenz.
Yeah. He got some stuff out right now?
What was that?
He got some stuff out right now?
No, I listen to a lot of old stuff. But
Monkees, okay.
Yeah. And then also, what was the other artist? Shanice, you know, like the old school R&B, New Jack Swing. Yeah. But if we're talking, okay. Yes. Yeah, that's her. She had that song called
I Like Your Smile. Love Your...
Yep.
So Turn Down the Lights. It's for you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's for you. Yep. That was the song I was listening to.
From the Meteor Man, yeah.
Yeah, I love that song. It's just the harmonies in it. Yeah, the bass, her voice, you know.
Turn Down the Lights is a nice little ballad, too.
Oh, yeah, I love that one, too.
You know, I performed for Shanice Wilson. Me and Jay performed in front of her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How long ago was that?
This is probably about 2006.
Amazing.
2006, 2007. She was in Milwaukee and she was at this club and they had this had this big show and me and Jay got up there and we turned it out, man. We did Inspiration.
Nice.
And then we went into this we got a song called it was just an instrumental. It was really a concert version of Inspiration. We went into we did Inspiration. Crowd was loving it. We were walking off the stage. All right, thank you. And then all of a sudden,
that's amazing.
We had this voice come on over the speaker like, hold on, where you niggas going? It ain't over. Music pop right back on and we look at each other like, okay, and we come back out there in the crowd and it's going crazy. And we turned that into a song called Party. I gotta send it to you. But you know, we're just like, amazing. Do you wanna go? From OKC and the Sunshine Band. Party, drink a little wine.
Oh, that.
Party, 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 you know. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I remember that song. Yeah.
Yeah. I ever sent you that song before? Party?
Well, actually, no, I don't think you sent me that song, but like, you know, that thing you were saying, the party, party. Like, I remember that part.
Right. Take six with that or something or whatever. I don't know. Well, that was in Grandmaster Flash or Girls Love the Way He Spins. I don't know where it came from, but Shanice Wilson was there front row.
Amazing. That's an experience. That's a great experience, man.
I'm out there doing a running man, you know. little hammers, little thing. You know, I used to step up out there doing that, man. And we had a good time, man.
That's amazing, man. You guys sound like you put on a real show. That's awesome.
Yeah, we used to do a really good show, man. And Jay was like, he was the best, man. We have a version that we, put out. But, whenever we had to do a show, he'd come up with a concert version. Or, maybe it'd be all acoustic or something. He was brilliant, man. Too bad the world don't know about how bad he was,
Yeah, his memory's still going to live on through you and... Yeah. Oh yeah, maybe we can release some stuff of his, like what you were saying, like redo.
Well, like I said, we're talking about redoing the Inspiration, man. So yeah, we gotta redo Inspiration, man. And you'll be on there with his voice, your voice and his voice. That'll be special.
Oh, thank you, man. That'll be an honor. I appreciate you, bro. Can't get over you, always. Can you get over me? Can't get over you, always. Can't get over you, always.
Control. Something seems to slow me down, happens all the time. I think I need my space, so I can really grow. Never seems to happen, always on my mind. I think I need my space, so I can really grow. Never seems to happen, always on my mind. Something that I can never get is a lot of time. Wishing I can change my past, just press rewind. Can't get over you, always. Can you get over me, always? Can't get over you, always. Can you get over me, always? Can't get over you, no. 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 Always in my dreams, always in my mind. Every time I see you, never be surprised. Always in my dreams, always in my mind. Always got that good vibes. Can't get over you.
what you really want. You can be anything you want. All I want to do right now is leave. Leave it soon.
All I wanna do.
All I want to do right now is leave.
She's a cougar, real winner, never seen her with a loser. Gorilla talk, ooga booga booga, scuba, booba, diver, I'm a rider, getting cider, sweet like cider, fighter, fighter, rider, neither, neither, wants to get it, going, know it, hold it, fold it, blow it, wait, I'm joking, cages broken, from these beasts, from down east, on the streets, it's a zoo.
All I want to do right now is leave. Leave it soon.
All I wanna do.
All I want to do right now is leave. Leave it soon. Fair, one of them bound me, you take advantage.